Everybody, hi, welcome to the George Massey Show. I'm 3 minutes late. That's not bad for me. Like, honestly, this is an improvement. How is everybody doing? Happy Monday. It's Monday. Yeah, we're a day late. It's Monday. We're gonna jump in and talk about last night's episode, Happily Ever After. Unfortunately, bad news first. Kara can't join us tonight. She's had some issues with her TV service getting switched over and a lot of drama. So Kara won't be here tonight. We will miss her greatly. I really need my... Hi, Karen. Hi, Molly. Hi, Bev. Hi, Dana. Hi, Judy. Hey.
Hey.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. Hold on a second. This thing is like all up in my face. I'm going to move it down. If I can figure out how this works. Oh, I did it. Okay, cool. Cocoa Puff, hello. So yeah, unfortunately, Kara's not going to be here. Hey, Tina. But we're going to talk about, there's a lot, right? Like, I feel like this episode was a lot. There was Rob and Sophie in the dressing up thing. I feel like we need to discuss that. And then Jasmine and Gino had some drama, and we're going to get into that. But first, I want to talk about bride price, because this is not a new subject on 90 Day Fiancé. It's not a new subject. We've heard about bride price. We've heard it called, there's another term for it too. What did they call it?
Dowry.
Yeah. Dowry in Thai culture, bride price in Nigerian and Cameroonian culture. So I wanted to get your thoughts on this, because Lisa, who is Emily's mom, is extremely bothered by the idea of a bride price, which I understand. You know, America in general, we have a pretty rough past when it comes to buying and selling individuals, you know, and none of us are proud of, you know, where we came from as a nation. Like, we know now what we didn't know then. So how do you feel about a bride price? Like, if you were in a situation where you were asked to put a number, or per se, or how valuable the person is, are you okay with that? Like, is it okay? Would you want to be a part of that? Because I think Lisa's main issue, but she's like, I don't want to be a willing participant in this, right? Do you feel the same way?
Yeah, I have to support her on that, because there's no way that I would be able to put a price on my child either. Like, who does that? But I mean, I get it. It's different cultures. I get it. I understand. But no, I couldn't do it at all.
I understand that it's a cultural thing. And, you know, the first thing that came to my mind was, I was like, if I really needed to do it, because Kobe was like, if you don't do it, there's not going to be a wedding. Nobody's going to want to participate. So I was like, and my first thing came to my mind was, I'll ask for like a number, and then I would go out into the culture, the area, the community, and just give it away. Like, maybe I would ask for food or clothing or something, and then maybe donate it to like the people.
Well, look, what I was thinking, she could just give it to Kobe and Emily, like, you know, for the kids, for them to take home and go shopping or something. But I mean, they've been married for what, 2 years, two and a half years. They have two kids. Like, let Kobe and Emily put the price, and then you just ask for it, and then you just give it to them. Like, you know, I mean, I get where both of them are coming from, but there's no way possible I would tell someone, give me a certain amount for my child.
It's tradition and culture. We have weird tradition and culture too. Like, you know, in America, the bride and groom can't sleep under the same roof the night before the wedding. Now, they can already be living together. You know, they can already have kids. You know, we have these weird traditions too. And I was like, so should we just write it off as a weird tradition? Or, you know,
the day before the wedding or sleeping in the same bed is different from asking someone for money for your child. That's different.
Yes, I mean, I really hate, you know, I hated the dowry and I hated the bride price in the future, like this, or in the past, like future is, I'm never gonna change. I don't think that people should ever be considered monetarily or of value because people are invaluable. You know, a person's life can never have a value set to it. People are individuals. There's never two people that are quite the same. They're just invaluable. So I don't like it, but I also know that, you know, I was raised in a weird cult and, you know, we did weird stuff, you know, and there were people who, when I was younger, they didn't like what we were doing. I don't like what I was doing then. So I try to be open to other people's cultures and stuff. But I think Lisa, she took a stand, you know, like I think Dave, her, the dad, Emily's dad, was just like, whatever, I'm just gonna throw this list together, right? There was an umbrella, there were some shirts, there was some, what kind of oil? Moroccan oil? What kind of oil did he want? It was can't remember. It was like a African oil.
It was a weird name. I can't even
Yeah,
remember the
he
name you
asked,
said.
you know,
Yeah.
just he just came up with a list. And somebody made the comment in the chat. They said, well, this isn't even something you can bring, because I'm pretty sure you can't bring that much of any liquid on the plane anyway. This was just, it's more of a symbolic thing, because obviously, usually when two people in that culture get married, they're gonna live in the same community. So you would just exchange these things, but you know, they could maybe bring the umbrella back and the shirts, but you know, it's more of a symbolic thing. It's a weird situation. And we were watching Emily, she was learning to cook some Cameroonian dishes, and you know, Twitter destroyed her because Twitter was like, so in 2.5 years, three babies, you haven't been cooking them
See that?
Cameroonian dishes, right? They were attacking
Look,
her. They're like,
I'm with social media on this. Okay, you go over to another country, you fall in love with a man, you get engaged, you get married, you have two children. Now they have three children. But the whole time that y'all been together, you don't know his culture, you don't understand his culture, you don't even know how to fix a plate in his culture. So what the hell are you doing with him?
I thought it was weird that they've been together for so long. Because, okay, say for instance, because you know, you were raised in another country, right? So if you were in a relationship with someone, say you left the country that you were in for a person, it would be very romantic and a good, kind gesture for them to cook something traditional from where you're from every now and then to make you feel a little more at home. And everybody's like, well, Emily should have been doing that because Kobe not just left Cameroon, but he's in Kansas, right? He's in Salinas, where you don't see very many African Americans. You know, there's not a lot of visual images of even people who look like him. So you would think that she would have picked up a few dishes, you know, and recipes, and she's been doing that for him. And of course, for the babies, you want the babies to grow up, you know, the younger, the better, experiencing that culture. Just because you can't be in Cameroon doesn't mean that you don't have those traditions and that culture. And there should be dishes that she's learned to cook, you know, even
You
if it's
would
an Americanized
think.
version.
You would think. I mean, my kids are they're mixed with Hispanic. So, I mean, they grew up around the culture. They know how they know the language. They know where they know where their roots come from, like their father's roots, where it comes from. They know how to cook the food. They know how to act. They know how to, you know what I'm saying? It's like it's how you raise them. So for her not to even try, not to even know how to cook a dish, not even one simple dish, and then not even try to teach her children, like, and then shame on Kobe at the same time, because Kobe should be, not making her, but at least trying to get her to understand that, hey, look, yes, we're in America, yes, I'm in your country, but this is where I come from. Our children deserve to know where their roots are.
Well, yeah. I mean, just because they're being born and raised in Salinas, Kansas, doesn't mean that they shouldn't have some Cameroonian culture, tradition, and roots enrooted, you know, into their grounded into their upbringing. And I feel like it doesn't take a lot, you know. Google, if you really want to know something, I always tell people, you just grab your phone, you Google it. You want to know, like, you know, Cameroonian dishes or traditions or music. You know, like maybe you want to have them listen to some traditional music from the region where they're from. You know, there's, because every time we see Kobe's family, they're dancing to music. You know, you can see that music is a big part of their culture. It's a big part of who they are. So there's so many different ways that you can implement that into your lifestyle. Doesn't matter where you live. You can be in Kansas, you can be in LA, you can be in Texas. It doesn't matter. You can implement that. I just feel like there's not a lot of effort, you know, to make sure that these kids are multifaceted and they know their culture. And it's kind of sad, you know? You know, it definitely is something that it wouldn't take a lot, you know? Them visiting for the first time shouldn't have been their first time eating the food or hearing the music or hearing about the things that their family does, you know? Like, my family is from New Orleans. So as a kid, I had lots of food from New Orleans. We experienced a lot of the culture. When I was with my friends and not with my religious family, I was able to do Mardi Gras and I was able to do, you know, the New Orleans stuff, the Bourbon Street. I was able to do a lot of that stuff. So I know about the culture, you know, and as a kid, I thought that was important, you know, like I wasn't close with everybody on that side of the family. So it's part of growing up to know where I came from. And I think, unfortunately, people don't make that a priority when they have multicultural families and they blend the families and they kind of leave one culture behind. And I think that's sad. That's why I respect people of Spanish descent, because they can, one thing about people who speak Spanish is they can migrate from anywhere in the world and they continue their culture no matter where they are. You will see their flags. They will be cooking their traditional dishes. They get together with people from their regions. They find people to have that traditional bond with. And I feel like we don't do that as Americans, right? Like, we don't do that. We don't uphold traditions the way that other cultures do. And I think people who speak Spanish, they really do bring their traditions everywhere. That's why no matter where you go in the world, there is always a strong Spanish or Latin scene, because they keep their culture no matter where they are. And we got to do that. You know, we have to start implementing that too. It's so important.
Exactly.
So Sophie never found the whole phone. So remember, we were talking about the whole phone, the whole phone that was going off, and she was pretty sure she could find it. She didn't find it. Just because she didn't find it doesn't mean it didn't exist. That just means that Rob has places in the apartment that she doesn't know about. You know, so she's mm-hmm. I feel like Sophie might also be one of those people. Have you ever met a person where they'll walk up to you and they'll be like, I can't find the remote, or I can't find my phone. And then, like, within 30 seconds of you getting up and looking, you can find it for them. I think Sophie's one of those people, right? I feel like she didn't look very hard. You know, we saw her look in one place and then she gave up. And I was like, I feel like if she really wanted to find it, she could have. Like, I'm the type of person where if somebody tells me they lost something, I can find it. You know, I can find it. Yeah. I look under things, I move things, I go under couch cushions, I get on my hands and knees and look underneath stuff. Like, I feel like everybody is not built that way. Like, they'll look anywhere that doesn't require you to move anything and they're like, I can't find it. You know, they're just like, I can't find it. I'm like, well, you didn't really look. You know, like, if you're looking for your house keys, if you haven't looked in the refrigerator or the freezer, you haven't looked everywhere, right? You haven't looked everywhere.
Exactly.
And sometimes
you can be like looking for it so bad that you overlook it. You're looking at it, but you're not actually like looking at it. Does that make sense?
Happened to me. I've been looking for my keys and they were in my hand because I was looking so hard that in the process of looking for them, I grabbed them and my mind hadn't caught up to I had already found them and I was still looking for them and I heard them jingling and I was like, oh shit, I already have them. I don't know where I found them. But I didn't start out with them, but I was looking so hard. And then I started finding other stuff that I was also looking for that I forgot what I was actually looking for. And I was just looking for stuff. Because I was like, oh, my keys are in my hand now. Now I'm looking for other stuff. And I feel like she didn't look hard enough for it. So they went to therapy to discuss their issues. And 6 months of no sex. And we found out that she's avoiding sex with Rob because he wants her to dress up. So I was like, we're gonna talk about it, right? We're gonna talk about it. So dressing up, a lot of people on Twitter said that this is not something that she should be upset about. Like, how do you feel? Are you on the dressing up side? Is it okay to ask somebody? Or the other side of the argument is you should love the person the way they are and they shouldn't have to change or become another person for you to be attracted to them. So where do you stand?
Well, you know, I'm real conservative when it comes to stuff like that, but I will, Stop it.
No, go ahead. Go ahead. I didn't say anything. I didn't say
But
anything.
I will say that, if you are into stuff like that, you or your partner, and you have to, in anything, you have to have a happy medium. So if your man or your woman is wanting you to dress up before the stuff starts happening, then you need to do like a happy medium. Heck yeah. I mean, if say for instance I wanted my man to come in looking like a half naked firefighter, I mean like a sexy firefighter, if that's what I want, that's what I want. I want him to meet me halfway, or if he wants me to look like a, what Rob said, a maid or a bunny or something, you have to meet him halfway. You got to. Because if you're only worried about what you want and not worried about what your partner wants, that's never going to work. There's got to be a happy medium.
Now, what do you think about the argument that Rob admits to watching porn? And porn sets a unrealistic expectation of sex for
That
men.
would be a punch in the face and a kick in the nuts because my man ain't watching porn. Sorry.
Like at all, he's not allowed.
Nope.
Some people in some relationships find it healthy. Like an outlet, because for some people the drive in one person is less than the other or more. So some people welcome that into their relationship as a way for the guy to have an outlet that's not cheating, to do something else. Or Carlos says they watch it together. So that's still a no for you. There's absolutely none of that. No, really? I don't know. I feel like that it's healthy to watch it together. I think it's unhealthy to watch it separate. I think that that's building
Because this
a
is the way I look at it. This is, look, different strokes for different folks, okay? I don't look down on nobody that likes that stuff. I not at all. Different strokes for different folks. But this is my opinion. My opinion is if you have to look, if you're a woman, if you have to look at another man, then you ain't all into your man. If you're a man and you have to look at another woman, you're not all into that woman. So what are you two doing together?
I mean, that's true. That's true. I mean, I do think that that person needs to be enough for you. And that's what the basis of the relationship should be. Because we're kind of running into that on Love in Paradise too, where your expectation is always that person and someone else. They're never enough. So I agree with you, because if you can't look at that person and that person alone and be turned on and want to continue that relationship intimately just with that person, I do think that there's an issue. And so, what do you think about asking her to dress up? Do you think, because some women are like, well, that's saying that you wish that I was or looked like someone else. Do you feel like that's the case, or do you think it's more of a spicing it up, changing things? You know how people will make a dish and then they'll make the same dish spicy, right? Like you'll use the same recipe except you'll change the spices to make it spicy. Do you think you're taking the same thing and making it taste differently? Is that what people are doing when
Well,
they
I
try to
mean,
dress?
it could be both ways. I mean, it could work both ways. One way is that, yeah, it's keeping it spicy, it's keeping it new, it's keeping it fun. But on the other hand, like, I mean, could he really be into women that actually do that? Is he really into you as a person? That is something that you have to figure out yourself.
So
I mean, it goes both ways.
Sophie brought up bodybuilder women. That was something that he was focusing on when they were in therapy. She said that he looks at women that don't look like me. And I think that was your point. If he's building an unrealistic expectation of what a woman should look like by looking at those things, it is going to make things in that relationship unstable. Because if his interests are of people that don't look like her, that is a huge red flag. And you have to remember, Sophie followed a bunch of pages because she was into light-skinned men, right? Like this was her thing. So we know that the guy that she's into is Rob. He fits the mold. So we know that what she was looking for was him. But if he's looking at women that are bodybuilders who have huge muscles, who are in the gym 24/7, that raises a red flag, because that's not anything like who Sophie is. And it makes you wonder that too. Like when you meet someone and you start dating, and then you happen to come across a photo of their ex, this ever happened to you, and that person looks nothing like you, and you're wondering, how did we end up together. Like your pattern of people don't fit me.
That,
and then you start to question.
That happened with me and my ex because, like, I mean, my ex's ex. What are you even doing with me? Like, what are you even doing with me? Because I don't look like that. I don't dress like that. I don't act like that. I don't talk like that. So
you have to remember they're your ex for a reason. And a lot of times they call them you upgraded, you know? So I hate to base it on that. But sometimes, like, it's really interesting. Like, a person will be with a person of a different race or a different gender. You know, their ex is just nothing like you. And you're like, did you just have like a epiphany of life? You know, how did we end up together? Because your past doesn't align with who you are. But you can't judge people. People do change for the better. You know, sometimes people were into toxic people. They were into toxic situations. And maybe they've grown, you know. But I think that Sophie, I said this on Twitter. I didn't want to get attacked on Twitter. I actually didn't. But I was like, do you feel that Sophie is always a negative person? Like, every time that she's talking, it's always negative. She's like a professional victim, or a professional complainer is what I said on Twitter. And I don't want to get caught in this because I know that Rob sucks at life and relationships, and she has absolutely every right to complain because of what he's doing. But I do feel like, you know, for someone who disappeared for 3 months and was probably banging somebody else, right? Like, I feel like the blame is always being put in one direction, you know, and I feel like there's a little bit of blame to go around. And I feel like Sophie is always the one sitting on a high horse, like, well, you just need to apologize and admit that you're wrong so we can move on. It's like, but everybody in this situation has made mistakes, right? Her walking out on her marriage for 3 months, that wasn't a positive thing. You know, if you want to build your relationship, you
but, George, if you're in a relationship and your woman is doing stuff that Rob's doing to her, you wouldn't leave?
No, I would. I would. No, no, I mean, yeah. Okay. Absolutely. I would.
Case closed.
I just feel that she never wants to be a part of the relationship or a part of the solution. She always felt like Rob is the problem 100%. Right?
And he I feel is. Like her... He is the problem. I mean, Not only is he cheating on her on social media, he has I mean, there's videos of him, like, you know, the videos, we don't need to go into all that, what he's doing, but I mean, just, it's like, and then he's like so disrespectful, and he doesn't try to make her feel like she's wanted, like, you know, like he loves her or anything. He's always judging and criticizing her. Who in the hell wants to stay with somebody like that?
I mean, you're not wrong. I realized it when he wouldn't let the therapist talk. Because I was like, you're in therapy because you know that you have communication and relationship issues. And then the therapist is trying to communicate with him and he kept cutting her off. And I was like, I can only imagine how that feels in a relationship where you're trying to be heard and the person won't listen to you. I mean, I get it. I get that. But I also get that nobody is perfect. No two people are perfect. No relationship is perfect. But I just feel like she might want to, you know, her going back to him and her giving him another chance, that means that you're open to making it work. But I don't feel like she's 100% open to making it work. I feel like she just keeps popping up, you know, whenever, you know, they're like, oh, we're going to be filming again, so y'all need to get back together. And all of a sudden, she's ready to move back in. Also, a little news. Sophie's mom got arrested this past weekend. I know you guys saw it. I want to talk about it a little bit because I posted a lot of the stuff going on between her and Sophie. And she's the one that posted those videos of Rob in the car or in the truck with Sophie. And then in her hiding in the closet. Sophie's mom, Claire, posted that. That was not Sophie who posted that. And that's where the issue started. Sophie said that if her mom continued to release that stuff and start a narrative that she didn't agree with, she was going to have to protect herself. And lo and behold, Friday, Claire ended up in jail for making threats. The alleged story is Claire threatened Sophie's life as well as her own. And Sophie called the authorities, and then Claire was picked up on terroristic threats. So as far as we know, she was supposed to get out today. I haven't been able to check to make sure, but she was supposed to get out today. So how do you feel about this situation? Because of all things and all people, you don't put your mom in jail, right? Like, I feel like that was, I know.
Hey, hey, no. I would put my mama in jail.
You
so would?
Seriously? Your mother, though? You only get one. And it was Mother's Day yesterday,
and,
right?
And?
Really?
Sophie's mom is psycho. And, I mean, I know, like, Sophie isn't innocent in this whole situation either. I know Sophie's not. Sophie was, I mean, she was banging, like, her best friend, she's been banging that other woman too. Sophie is nowhere near innocent.
Yeah,
but the way her mama has been treating her, the way her mom's been controlling her, and everything her mom was putting on social media, like, heck yeah. I mean, if that was my mom, I'd have her ass locked up too, sure would, in a heartbeat.
I don't, wow. I mean, but do you feel that there was a reason to be alarmed by the videos? Did you feel like Sophie wasn't safe in any of those videos?
I mean, I think it's a lot for clout. A lot of it, I think, is for clout. I don't know, because when it comes to Sophie and Rob, I mean, it's hard to believe everything that you see. It's hard to believe everything that you hear. You know what I'm saying? And so it's like, I don't know. That's a big question mark. I have no idea.
She made a story and she defended him and said that she never felt unsafe, even though she literally said, "I feel unsafe with you." She said that he's never been abusive towards her. And a lot of times in these situations, the women do recant or retract their statements, you know, because we don't know the context of that video. Sophie made a comment, the video was 2 years old. We don't know the context of that. And we do know that people fight. And we do know that people either decide to not move forward or they decide to work things out. And unfortunately, those videos don't tell you all of that. Those videos tell you what happened in that moment. So I do know that Sophie and Rob were together in LA this weekend. So the video context, we don't know years ago, months ago, we don't have any context of what we were watching. And we don't
get it in as well. I mean, you know what I'm saying? You can take old videos and you can, George, you know that. I mean, you can take any video and you can edit it to make it look like, you know, something that's happening in the moment. So, I mean, it's really hard to believe what you hear and see on social media.
I think the video was a bad situation. But again, when was it? You know, this could have been before they even got married. You know, they could have clearly moved past it and moved forward. I tried to give people the benefit of a doubt, you know, because just because two people aren't getting along, I know this has happened with people that I know personally. They'll tell me stories and they'll tell me things that happen. And then the next time I have an event, they're at my house eating together and everything is fine. You know, because they move forward, they move past it, they forgave each other. So I have to leave myself out of it. You know, and it's hard because people bring their problems and their issues to you and then it's still there in your mind. But then, you know, 3 weeks later, they move forward, they're happy, they're eating together, they're going on trips together, and everything is fine. And then you're kind of left in the middle with too much information you never asked for, right? You're like, well, I shouldn't know all this. So I'm trying to move on and give them, you know, the benefit of a doubt that they're happy, you know, or not. You know, again, until they ask me for help or they need help or they need somewhere to stay or they feel unhelped or unhappy or unsafe, then I'll get involved. But then you kind of have to take a step back. And that's kind of where Claire's mom wouldn't take a step back. Like, Sophie was asking her to take a step back and let her and Rob work on things themselves. And she wouldn't give them that granted request. She wanted to expose Rob and she was upset with Rob. And again, context. We don't know why she felt that way. We don't know what triggered her. We don't know anything. So I don't know. I think that it's hard when there's other people posting things for other people because we don't know the full story.
Exactly. And then, I mean, we already know that, you know, Sophie, her mom is like pretty much brainwashing her into saying or thinking certain, acting certain ways. Do you know what I'm saying? She's brainwashing her. It's so obvious that's what she's doing. And then she's got Rob over here acting like a freaking dick. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, I'm surprised the poor girl even knows her name. I mean, because she's getting it from both ends of the stick.
Yeah. Yeah, also, I want to talk about this surgery. So we had some surgery scenes last night, and it was a lot, right? Like it was pretty graphic. And we saw Lauren after her surgery. She was really, really high on medication, and she was like, do I look snatched? Am I pretty? And it was hard to watch because it was, I think what really hit me was how serious the surgery was. 6 hours of surgery, and how terrible, I'm just gonna say it, how terrible she looked afterward. Hi, Laura. How terrible. She looked horrible. She looked like she was in horrible pain. And I think it really hurt because I hate to see people have to go through that to feel happy or to feel beautiful or to feel themselves in their own skin. And it was hard. And watching Alexei try to be supportive, because when you marry someone, he married her because he loved her just the way she was. But in order to support her, you have to support her in everything. And this was a lot to support somebody going through that type of surgery, and I hate to use the word unnecessary, but it's not necessary. There are people who have life-threatening conditions, and surgery is between life and death. It wasn't the case. Like, it was unnecessary. And to watch what she went through, it was a lot, like, so when they were showing like skin and cutting, and it was just a lot for me. So I can't imagine what it's like for her husband. And the recovery process is going to be really bad, right? Like, I feel like it's going to be painful for everybody involved. And I just think being her husband is going to really be trying, during that time, because 6 weeks, I think 6 to 8 weeks before she's going to be able to be a normal functioning human being again, right? Like, she can't even pick up stuff, like, she literally has to lay down all the time, get up only to go to the bathroom. Like, this is a pretty serious debilitating situation to be in. And I think Alexi's gonna be a good husband. He's a good guy, and he's gonna take care of her. But like he said, is she gonna wake up one day and say, "Oh, I don't like the way this looks," and then there's another surgery, and then there's another surgery? Because we've watched this. We've literally watched this happen in the 90-day universe
Yes,
with
multiple
cast members.
times.
And I think that putting people on TV and making their names a household name and giving people the option of discounts on surgery, if you advertise it, I think it's super dangerous, right? Like, it's very dangerous. Darcy and Stacy were able to get a lot of surgeries for a lot less money than they should have cost it because of who they are. And I think if that wasn't the case, maybe they wouldn't have had so many, right? Like, Darcy posted a picture the other day, and now she almost looks like a doll, right? Like, she doesn't even look like herself anymore. Like, her face is like a completely different shape, the structure and everything. And it's like Alexi's worried because, he didn't marry who she wants to become. He married who she was. And it's like, but as a man, you can't tell a woman what she can and can't do. This isn't the 1950s. You can't say, "Okay, I don't want you to do this," and then she complies. We don't live in that world anymore. So he's kind of in a tough situation because he needs to be supportive of her, but he also needs her to know that, "I really don't want you to continuously put me, your family, the kids through this traumatic experience,
Exactly. I mean, like we were saying last week, whether you're a man or a woman, transgender, whatever you are, you need to feel beautiful and like you need to feel beautiful in your skin. You need to be able to look at yourself in the mirror and feel beautiful no matter what. But going back to the same thing, I understand why she wanted it. I understand why she did it. But having three babies under three, I mean that was way too soon to have it done. Way too soon. I would have it waited till at least they were in school. You see what I'm saying? And then
Well,
it wouldn't have
yeah.
been so much, so much on Alexi. Alexi's having to take what, 2, 3 months off work. And he even said that it was gonna that he helped her through the C-sections, which was a lot for him, but now he's even fixing to have to literally wipe her tail the
Yeah.
next. You know what I'm saying? That's gonna
I
be
love
even
people.
more.
I love people, but I don't know if I love people enough to wipe them and stuff. And like, 'cause I don't know, like that's a lot for me. Like, how some people are like, "Oh, I love hard," and through great health and poor health. I don't know if I'm a poor health person, Like, I don't know. Like, honestly, like, if I had to, like, go to the bathroom with you and bathe you and wipe you, I don't know if I'm fully into that. You know, like, and I know that I don't want to sound heartless or whatever, but it's like, I don't know if I'm able to do that. Like,
That's where
I don't even do
true
that.
love comes in. That way you that if you can actually wash your partner, whether it's a man, woman, if you can actually do it because they actually need that kind of help, that is some love. That's true love right there.
And I don't know, yeah, and I would have to really, really be in love for that to happen, because that's just so beyond the realm of expectation for me. And I don't expect anybody to do it for me either. You know, like, and I think that, you know, that it really does show how much you love somebody if you have to empty, like, I think she's gonna have like a fluid bag,
Yeah.
and he's gonna have to empty the fluid bag. That's real love, right? Like, he is in it for the long haul. He is gonna take care of her. But at the same time, he doesn't want to do this his whole life, right? This isn't a lifelong thing. Like, for Darcy and Stacey, this has kind of been a lifelong journey for them. Like, they've been doing it their whole life, you know, and Georgie and Florian have had to, well, hell, they've jumped in on it too. So I was gonna say they had to live with it, but actually they started getting stuff done too. You know, like, they actually just jumped into the craze, and they're getting work done too. And now it's like a whole cycle. And it's scary, because I don't want to be a part of a cycle like that, because we've seen in the news people have lost their lives doing these surgeries. You know, they're not doing it in the proper places. The procedures are being, there's corners being cut. They're
Yeah.
taking a cheap way out, and you know, people are losing their lives of something so simple as a BBL or
That's what
a tummy
I was
tuck.
going to say. There was a famous lady. She passed away. Just, I mean, she was in there getting a BBL and didn't make it out.
Yeah, and these are very simple procedures, but it's like when people are not taking the proper precautions, and they're taking, people want to cut corners, you know, because you remember, do you remember back in the day a boob job used to be $15,000? Do you remember that? And then there started to pop up places where you could get it for 8,000, or you could get it for 10,000, or you could get a boob job for 6,500, or you could finance it. And that's where the questionable activity starts to come in.
All
If something has
over
always,
her Facebook, you can get a mommy, what do they call it? A mommy makeover for
makeover.
$57 a month. It's all over Facebook. I'm like, whoa, what?
It's that's where you begin to
That's
question
an
everything,
abasement right there.
because a doctor,
$57.
a surgeon who can properly do this job has been in school for 10, 15 years. So they're not going to go out and use their expertise for pennies, okay? Like, just be real. Like, if you're a good surgeon, you're a good doctor, you graduate at the top of your class, you spent good damn money on your degree and your practice, you're not going to go out there and offer the cheapest price, right? Because your expertise is worth more than that. So when you see somebody advertising something for really cheap, question everything, okay? Question everything. People, please be careful with these fly-by-night places. I saw recently TMZ posted a mom and daughter got arrested for doing backdoor butt injections. They weren't
Putting
licensed
concrete
yet.
in their patient.
They weren't licensed. They weren't trained. They were just doing it. Please, ladies, please. Your life is so valuable, whether your butt is big enough or not. Okay? Like, you are still valuable. You still matter to so many people. Don't risk everything for a big butt. Okay, please don't. Like, of all things, speaking of big butts, let's talk about Jasmine real quick, because Jasmine has decided to join the pageant world. And the first thing she did was go to this workshop, which she brought Gino to, which was weird. Why did she bring Gino to the workshop? Which I was really confused by, because none of the other women brought their husbands to the workshop, but she brings Gino to the workshop, and then she then in turn tells Gino, don't look at any other women. Okay. Right, whatever. But then she also
It's
uses the
Jasmine, George. It's Jasmine.
don't bring him. There's literally nothing there for him to do. As long as the check cleared and he paid for it, he could stay home, right? Like, there is no reason why he needed to be there. So she gets there and she uses the time to kind of get like an emotional support from the other women, which I thought was really good. Because remember, I think last week we talked about how I didn't think pageants were a good thing for women. I will say this, they were very, very supportive and emotionally supportive to Jasmine in that little workshop, right? Because Jasmine was like, she was downing herself. Like, literally, she's like, oh, I'm too old for this. I don't look good. You know, and the women were very, very supportive. And I take back what I said. You know, I didn't realize that there was going to be that supportive. I looked at it as a very competitive environment where, you know, there's one crown, 100 ladies. You know, I didn't see it as they were going to be so supportive.
And some of them, they are. I mean, you have to look like a stick. You have to, you know, you're only allowed to eat carrots or celery. I mean, you have to look a certain way. You have to walk a certain way. You have to dress a certain way. You have to talk a certain way. And then there's some that, like she went to, you know, they really support you. It's all in where you go.
I mean, do you think Jasmine has a look for a pageant? I've always felt Jasmine was way more beautiful than she gave her credit for. I can see a crown in her future, right? Do you feel the same way?
Yeah, I mean, Jasmine is a beautiful woman. She's a beautiful woman, but she's an ugly woman at the same time, if you know what I mean. She's a beautiful woman, but because of her character, because of her attitude, because how she treats people makes her an ugly person.
Well, she can cry on cue, and I'm pretty sure that that's very helpful in a pageant, right? I feel like you need to be able to cry.
Why? At a pageant? No.
Yeah, why would you have to do that? It's like when they ask you like the personal questions, you're supposed to like get all emotional, right? I've seen a few Miss America pageants, right? Don't the really deep emotional stories get the most attention, right? I feel like she can easily say that she came over here from Panama. She left her babies at home. I feel like she will easily be able to get the support of as many people as possible by telling her story. But okay, let's talk about the baby situation, because Gino is trying to have a baby. He's 55 years old and he is ready to have a baby. Jasmine's 37. And at this point, she's ready to have a baby, or he's ready to have a baby. Jasmine is not. So do you think this is going to be enough to put a wrench in the whole thing? Because Gino made it pretty clear that he wants to have a child, and Jasmine kind of went along with it up until it was time to follow through. So do you think that this will be enough for him to realize that this probably isn't going to work?
No, because he ain't going nowhere. I mean, what else does she have to do to him other than she's already humiliated him? She's already embarrassed him. She's already like belittled him. So she says she don't want a baby. He's not leaving. He ain't going nowhere.
The diva speaks. Why didn't Jasmine say this at the beginning? Well, one thing that we notice about Jasmine is she doesn't tell Gino the truth about anything in the beginning, right? Like throughout the time that we've met them on the show, she's always had a secret she needed to tell him that she knew
She tells him when she is ready to humiliate him or embarrass him or belittle him. That's when she tells him everything that she really wants to say. Or if he refuses to give her money for something or refuses something, that's when she's going to tell another secret she's got.
Yeah. She's very good at keeping the truth from him until she gets what she wants. And also, having a baby when you can't afford $5,000 for a lawyer seems outrageous to me, because a baby is like a $1 million investment. And one thing that statistics have shown lately are people who have children now, their children are moving out later and later in life. So you're going to be taking care of that child for much longer. Like the generation today, like, I don't know, in the earlier generations, it seemed like people were moving out between 18 and 21. Now, statistics are showing that children are staying in their parents' home until 26 and older at times. Because, you know, inflation, it's much harder to get a job. College degrees don't even really matter as much, you know, as they did 25 years ago. Like, a college degree was the way to get out of that situation. But now, everybody has one of those. You know, so companies aren't impressed by that anymore. So having a child now is actually going to cost you even more money than it did 20, 30, 40 years ago. And I think Gino, an unemployed 55-year-old man who can't afford a $5,000 lawyer, should reconsider the idea of bringing a child into the world, right?
I feel like Jasmine is... You know that man, he's got money.
Well, Jasmine... Jasmine is a very expensive woman, and I'm beginning to wonder how much money does he have left. I know that she's getting him for money. Like, I know that she's living a much more tame lifestyle now that she's in Michigan. You know, she's doing a lot less than she was doing before, but I can't imagine that he saved any money in the last year and a half, right? I can't imagine, right?
You know, first, I mean, I don't know if he's still giving her this lavish lifestyle. I don't see where, because she don't get her nails done no more. She don't dress up like she used to. She don't get her hair done. She don't do none of that stuff anymore. So I think is what he's doing is he told him back he don't have to work, because we all know that he's a millionaire. I think he's holding back because he wants to have control over her because of how she treated him whenever she was in Panama. We all know she treated him like a piece of crap. So I think by him withholding a lot of stuff, that's how he's getting back at her.
Really? I mean, it's possible. I mean, I really believe that Jasmine and Gino are in it for each other. I know that sounds crazy, but I feel like they each have their own motive and they're both kind of using each other. Like it's a game that they're playing against each other. And it's a really weird relationship to me. And honestly, I never saw it making it this far. Like really, on all honesty, if I had put a money on it, I wouldn't have saw them making it this far. I would have thought it would have fallen apart sometime before that this has happened. And it's been the fact that she's here and she hasn't left him yet has really made me scratch my head, because I felt like she definitely wanted to get here. And I think that, you know, going back and forth between here and Panama was the idea. That was the ideal. But I don't know what's going on with her. Like, honestly, I'm trying to follow through. I don't know what she wants. Like, she's very confusing. And I feel like Gino probably feels the same way. Like, she's one of those people where I don't know what she wants and I don't know what she doesn't want. I just kind of meet in the middle and we fight about it,
She
you
wants the
know?
green card and the money. That's it. That's all she wants. She don't want no man. She don't want nothing. She wants the green card and the money.
So, Manuel has made it perfectly clear
Oh,
to Ashley.
yeah, we gotta talk about
So,
them.
he's made it perfectly clear to Ashley that he doesn't want her around. So the fight that they were having is because he left the hotel. They're in New York, right? I believe they're in New York. And he left the hotel without telling her. And she felt like, as a married couple, you know, she should get a text, you know, of whereabouts of what he's doing. And we kind of talked about that last week. But I think what's really interesting is he feels he has to avoid talking to her because she keeps inviting herself and inserting herself in his life. And he doesn't want her around, you know, and he's made it very clear that the more that she's around him, the less happy he is. And it's like everybody can finally see, well, I don't know, finally, I've been seeing it. Manuel can't stand this woman, right? Like he can't stand her presence. Every opportunity he gets to run away from her or walk away from her, he takes. Like he would love to just move in with Jonathan and never speak to her again. And at some point, I'm wondering how long is it going to take for Ashley to get on board with that she got. Like, I know it's hard for her to understand, but she's known him for a decade. They had no communication for this whole decade. She don't know who his ex is. She doesn't know who his kids are. And now we're finding out, she said in the preview for the next episode, she gave Manuel $1,000 to send to his family. She wants to know the allocation of the money. Which, first of all, I would have need to known that from the beginning. So stupid on her part. But now she wants to know the allocation of the money, and Jonathan thinks it's a possibility he's sending money to his ex. How do you feel about that? And if he's sending money to the ex, that means he's been sending money to the ex the whole time, right? Like this isn't new, right? Because she's always been sending money over there to him. So what do you think of the idea that she's now taking care of probably his current girlfriend? Because the ex probably isn't really the ex. The ex is the current girlfriend, right?
Well, we all know there's no ex. I mean, come on
It's probably
now.
either
How many
the current
times?
girlfriend or the wife, right?
It's his wife. It is his wife. And you know that we know that everybody knows that the only reason why he's with her is to get the green card. He don't even want to have anything to do with her. But this woman is supposedly a witch.
Well, she's a witch and a clairvoyant. And she's a tarot card reader, and she seems to believe that she can know the character of people based on tarot cards. And it's crazy that people pay her for advice on their life when her life is such a crazy disaster, right? Like, this man is literally a crazy disaster of her life. He's using her, and he's making her look like a fool on national TV. And I think that's what's really hard for me, because I get love can blind you and it can make you unaware of things in front of you. I know the story, right? But this man has actually stopped pretending to care. Like, he literally talks to her and treats her like she's an annoyance in his life. And I think that now that he knows that he's here, he doesn't have to kiss her ass anymore, right? Like, he knows, like, I'm here. I don't have to deal with this anymore. The paperwork has been filed. Like, I don't really have to pretend to be in love with you anymore. And I be honest with you, I don't think he ever did. I don't think he ever pretended to be in love with her. I think that Ashley is a delusional woman, right? I think that any man who shows her a tiny little bit of attention is in love with her. And I think that he's probably always treated her this way, but her weird representation of love, I don't know, like, how she was raised or what she saw coming up, but she thinks that this is what love is supposed to look like. Because it would take a normal person would have walked away many, many years ago if somebody was treating them this way. And not only is she staying, but she's giving him thousands of dollars to send back to people she's never even met. Why would you do that?
I'm trying to find it, George. I'm trying to find it, okay? I don't even have anything positive to say about him or her.
Have they done anything positive? Like, honestly, like, I can't with either one. Like, I feel at first I felt bad for her.
I'm just glad we haven't had to sit through a scene with them having sex in the bathroom somewhere. Like,
That is good. It's the little things we
That's
need
a
to be.
positive. That's one positive.
Yeah, it's the little things that we need to be grateful for, because you're right, we could be dealing with uncomfortable sex scenes between the two of them in dirty public bathrooms. Oh, so Liz shows up 2 days later to break up with Ed. And well, no, I'm sorry. Liz shows up 2 days later to try to get back with Ed. Ed breaks up with her. And she's actually hurt, which is really confusing for me. Either she's a really good actress or she really loved him.
She's a really good actress. She don't want
Yeah,
to give that.
I'm
She don't
leaning.
want that money to go away.
Yeah, I'm leaning towards actress, because I think the relationship with TLC is what she was in love with. TLC is a pretty steady source of income when you're filming, and she's been filming for quite a while. Because I can't imagine that her whole world is upside down because this man decided he didn't want to be with her. They had already broken up, DeeDee, 14 times prior, right? So would this really ring as a surprise to you that he called off the wedding? Would this ring, like, y'all have broken up for 14 times prior? This is like number 15. Would it really surprise you that he
And
wasn't actually?
he just now realized he didn't want to get married.
Right. And he's
Come
never
on.
wanted to get married. Like, for real, honestly, he's never wanted to get married. I think he's one of those people who likes to be in chaotic relationships, and he likes to cause chaos in people's lives. Like, look what he's done to her life. She had a good job. She had her leave the good job. She was living a steady life in her own place in San Diego. Able to see her child regularly. He took her away from that. He's caused nothing but chaos in her life, and now he's kicking her ass to the curb. Because in the scene that we saw, her mom showed up to help her pack, which her mom was there for the wedding. That's never gonna happen. And this man has the audacity to say, "You should have raised your daughter better." Now, I don't know. I mean, if somebody would have said that to my mother, the police would have had to get involved. Like, those are fighting words, right? Like, after you left her, made her feel like shit, broke up with her, called off the wedding, you're gonna then direct disrespect to her mother, who's only there to help, and say, like, she's like, "I wish that you would treat my daughter better." And he's like, "You should have raised her better." Like, whoa, on Mother's Day, right? Like, this aired on Mother's Day. I was like, this guy has really lost his mind. Like, I was happy that the mom kept her composure, because my mom probably would have smacked him. Like, honestly, she would have smacked him. Like, don't talk. Don't discuss the mother's parenting because your relationship didn't work out, right? Like, that's unfair.
Very unfair. Very unfair. Like, I'm just glad they're gone. I'm just glad they're gone. I don't even know what I even I'm just glad they're gone. And I know one thing, if it's true what we're seeing that she's going to be on Single Life next season, I'm gonna shoot my TV. I don't want
I
to see
mean,
her no more.
possibly. I mean, maybe it's hard to say. I know that the Single Life, the new season hasn't started airing. So when it does, I'm gonna, ask for info. But it hasn't started airing yet. I wouldn't put it past anybody. I feel like she's a shoo-in. Like, I hate to say it, but like, she's a shoo-in. If they're gonna do a new season, I feel like it's not even like a question. They're gonna put her in it, unfortunately. So. But they haven't started filming anything yet, so I don't know like anybody that's actually on there yet. But you're probably right. I'm not gonna sit here and pretend like you're not right. You're definitely right. She's gonna be on there. Like I can't imagine why they wouldn't. The setup is perfect. They break up on Happily Ever After just so they can show up on the Single Life. It's legitimately a perfect transition. We don't want it, but it's perfect. Oh, I want to talk
TLC
about
is
this.
traumatizing us. That's what TLC is doing.
For fun. Yeah, I feel like they traumatized is part of the game. So, oh, Thaïs and Patrick went to meet with her dad, and her dad said that Patrick needs to ask him for the blessing, and he has 3 days. Isn't that what he said? He said, "You got 3 days to ask me." So, Patrick, I guess he expected Patrick to just ask him right then and there. Patrick didn't do that. And the on the car ride back home, Thaïs felt like, you should have just asked him. It's kind of disrespectful. You should just make this right. And then Patrick made the comment. He's like, "Well, we wouldn't be in this situation if you would have just told him the truth in the first place," which is very true, right? Like, it's very true. Like, if she would have told him the truth about what was going on in the first place, they might still be in a situation because he might not have given his blessing. But at this point, the blessing is irrelevant, And I think Patrick made a good point. He was like, "I don't need your blessing on my marriage. My marriage is already flourishing. We're happy. We have a baby. Your blessing is irrelevant, but I do want you to accept and support our union." And I think that that is important. But I don't really know what Thais's dad Jose wants, or not Jose, Carlos. I don't know what he wants, because what do you need to do to prove to him that you love his daughter if you've been taking care of her and their child together this whole time? Like, what, as a parent, what do you need from him? 'Cause I'm confused. What is he gonna do to make you sure that your daughter is being taken care of? Shouldn't you just ask your daughter if she's happy? Like, what does he need to do?
I think it's a power thing. I think it's because first, Thais lied. I mean, all this is Thais's fault because she lied to her dad. She didn't tell the dad the truth. He didn't even know that she was in a relationship. He thought she was just coming over here to on a vacation when actually she was coming over here because she was already engaged to get married. So I don't understand where Thais is saying that all of this is Patrick's fault. It's Thais's fault, and I think it's a power trip over Carlos is trying to have over Patrick, and he is so wrong for that. So wrong for that.
Well, some people are saying maybe Carlos wants money. Like, you know how in some cultures when you marry somebody's daughter,
They already sending money according to Tice.
they do, but like maybe he wants more. Like maybe there's a bride price. Maybe he wants them to buy a car or buy a house. Like, you never know what these cultures, what they expect out of you. And they a lot of these cultures, they expect if you're with an American, y'all are like rich. Because a lot of times they're portrayed as Americans are portrayed on TV as rich and having way more money than they can ever use. And I think a lot of times the expectations are high of what an American can do for you if they marry into your family or if they're, brought into the situation. And that was what a lot of people were saying. They're like, "Well, what does he want? Does he want like a bride price?" Because he keeps making it seem like they didn't follow the correct protocol. Well, what's the protocol? He won't tell them what he wants. It's like he wants them to guess. And that makes it even more difficult, right? Like, just say what you want.
Exactly. I mean, it's already they're already support financially supporting her dad, financially supporting his dad. I mean, like, what else do they want? I mean, and then for Tace and to say that he, her and her dad has a close relationship, but he didn't even take Tace nothing for her birthday, didn't even take the baby anything. Like, really? I mean, are you
Yeah.
guys actually that close? I mean, come
I
on
don't,
now.
yeah, I don't think that they're close at all. And Patrick said that John arrived in Brazil, so he was gonna go drop Thais off and go pick up Patrick. And she's like, "Shouldn't you spend time with me on my birthday?" Which he should. Not
Yes.
gonna deny that. He most definitely should. But I was like, this would have been a perfect opportunity for Thais, her dad, and Alyssie to spend some time together off camera and bond. So I was like, I think you know that. I don't think that that relationship between Thais and her dad is not as close. I don't know if it was ever close. Like maybe it was close before she left Brazil, but there's a really weird vibe between her and her dad, and I can't put my finger on it. I'm like, I'm not exactly sure, you know, why they say they're close. They say that they're the most important thing to each other, but their actions give me something else. You know, like why when Patrick left, why was she so anxious to leave and not spend time with her dad? Like when I see a family member I'm close with, we're together the whole time. Like if I go to a different state to see a family member, we're gonna see each other for most of that time. Like I don't go see them and then an hour later go do my own thing. You know, that's not close. So yeah, I think that there's something up with that whole situation. Oh, Angela and Michael will be on the next episode. So this was anticipated because a lot of people kept saying, "Oh, they're not on the show," and I was like, "No, I'm pretty sure they are." So it turns out it looked like Angela was still in Nigeria at the time. So I don't know how much we're gonna get of them because the drama started once he got here. So I'm wondering how long were they filming once they arrived? So maybe we're getting them late in the season because they only filmed while they were in Nigeria, not when they got here. I don't know that. But I'm just curious to know because she kept saying that she thought that he was scamming women and that she didn't want to bring him over here. Well, obviously he's here. So, and apparently he's in Indiana. You know, I saw on Instagram today, he's in Indiana. So I'm not exactly sure who's in Indiana, but that's where he's at. And he was at a party living his absolute best life in Indiana. So I was kind of interested in that. But are you excited to see anything of Angela and Michael, or are you just kind of like, eh, I could do either way?
I don't even care, to be honest with you. I really don't care. But I mean, the only thing that I can say about them is that out of all of the scammers that this game, Michael knew exactly what he was doing. Okay, that's all I'm saying.
Well,
He deserves the green card, okay? He deserves that green card.
honestly, I didn't think of Michael as a scammer. He actually played the role really good. Like, you know, Manuel, he just kind of was just like, I'll deal with Ashley as long as I have to deal with her, but I don't like her. Like, I felt like Michael never really showed he didn't want to be with her. Like, he put in a lot of effort for this because a lot of people kept saying that they're like, he earned the green card. You know, she put him through a lot. I never saw that he, because, you know, in some relationships on the show, we can take one look from the outside looking in and we're like, green card. You know, like we can just, it's very easy to understand what was going on. With Angela and Michael, I didn't get that right away. Maybe towards the end, but like definitely for like the first 3 years, I didn't realize that that was what he was working towards. So kind of caught me off guard, you know, and now that he's gotten over here and he got what he wanted, everybody keeps talking about how happy he looks. And I saw it. He does look so much happier than we've ever seen him look.
Well, I can say that. I mean, I can say that. I mean, I like Michael. You know, I don't have anything against Michael. Now, I mean, he played the game. He played it good. But out of all the 90-day fiance people that scammed, he played the part right, and he kept his eyes on the prize. And then once he got it in his hand, he like, deuce, see ya, bye.
Yeah, very quickly, almost faster than Muhammad and Eve, right? I think it was faster than Muhammad and Eve. I
It
think,
was.
yeah, I think they even made it 4 or 5 months. Like Michael was out.
I don't even think he was here a week, was he?
Well, he got here in December And by like February, he was missing. But he wasn't missing. Yeah. He was totally fine. Angela just didn't know where he was. He wasn't missing. It didn't take him no time. Like, it was so quick. And again, we don't know what was going on behind the scenes, but I know that 60 days is not a lot of time. Like, he got over here and he had a plan. You know, like, he's all the way in Indiana. I don't know nobody in Indiana. I don't think I do. Do I? I don't think I do. I don't know. Possibly. But, like, he's all in Indiana partying and living his best life. And I don't take sides because I don't know what happened. If he's happy, I'm happy. You know, Angela keeps saying on her live, she's like, oh, you'll know what happened. Watch the show. You know, you will never believe what he did. And I'm like, okay. I mean, I'm not going to take anybody's side until I get the whole story. Right? Like, I don't want to take anybody's word, because if someone is your ex, you're not going to have anything positive to say about them. That's just kind of how it goes. So I'm not going to just only listen to Angela and assume that he did something wrong because they broke up. You know, if you break up with someone, they're not going to sing your praises. They're not going to tell everyone what an amazing human being you are. You know, so like, I'm just going to wait and see how it plays out. And she says that he's not going to be able to stay here. So that's what's interesting. So I want to keep up with that story because she seems to think that he's going to have to go back home. So yeah, that's kind of the...
We already know from past seasons, once they get here, and that's it. It's like, yeah, almost impossible to get them deported.
Yeah, people have tried everything. Larissa, they tried, and Danielle with Muhammad, she tried.
She had felonies, and they still couldn't. Yeah.
Larissa had like 3 arrests in less than a year. Still didn't affect her status. She still got her paperwork. So yeah, once they get over here, it's almost impossible. So I don't know what she thinks she would be able to prove, you know, that Danielle couldn't prove on Muhammad or...
Because he's Angela, she's an American citizen.
Yeah, it's once they get over here, that's why you have to be very careful of when you sign your name on the dotted line and you bring them over here. That's a done deal. You know, like, it's a done deal, and you got to just know what you're doing and who you're bringing over here before, because once they're here, they're here. Oh, you know who else tried it? Memphis with Hamza. She tried it. He's still here too. You're right. I'm beginning to think that you're right. Once they get on American soil and they marry an American, they're here to stay. There's not really much.
Pretty much immigration, from what I've seen, pretty much immigration is like telling the people that the women or the men that's married and they've got their spouses over here, or they brought them over here on a K-1, married them, got them their green card. Pretty much is, and then they try to say they scammed them. Well, that was your stupidity.
I mean, you know, scamming someone is not the same as love bombing someone. And I think a lot of times when it comes to like an immigration situation, the woman thinks that the guy breaking up with them makes it a scam. That's not the definition of a scam. A scam means that they stole from you or they defrauded you. Love bombing is a process where you overly give someone attention and love and affection to get something from them. That's not the same as fraud, unfortunately. And a lot of times love bombing, it's very hard to detect. You know, it's like a new version of you come on really, really, really strong, and the person is like really infatuated and it seems like things are going well. And then when Molly and Luis, you're right, Lori, I forgot about Molly and Luis. He's still here too. And I think that if anything, Michael love bombed that Angela and it worked. Like, that's my opinion. I think that, and I think Manuel love bombed Ashley. I'm pretty sure that's what it was. You come on really strong, you make her feel special, you make her feel love, and then when you get what you want, you turn it off. And that's not the same, unfortunately, as immigration fraud. It's not the same thing. And I know a lot of women will look at me and say, what the hell do you mean? Yes, it is, but it's not. Because you are entering into that relationship believing that he's in love with you. And that's kind of what happened with Ashley. All the way up until now, she thought that this man was in love with her, or in love with her, and he wasn't. He was only trying to get a green card. And everybody on the outside can see what's going on. But when you're being love bombed, you think the person is in love with you. You know, and I don't
exactly.
I don't see that as marriage fraud. It's not the same thing. It's just it's
really it's we've seen how many years have we been watching TLC 90 Day Fiance? How many years?
Oh my gosh, over 10 years.
From day one. I mean, I've been watching it, and I know you have too. So it is really, really hard to get them for fraud.
It's almost impossible.
Because what we think as fraud, the immigration doesn't look at it as fraud. They look at it as you're just being stupid.
That's
what it boils down to.
You're exactly right. Hey, Kim. Hey, bestie. This happens to me all the time because I remember I was in a parking lot and I bagged into a car that was like, it was like stopped, but not in a park. And I didn't see it was in my blind spot. So I bagged in the park. So I swore to up and down heaven that I was 100% right, that they were in the wrong. So the insurance company does the investigation, and lo and behold, I was wrong because I hit an object that wasn't moving, even though they weren't in a parking space, they were parked illegally in the street and not moving. And I think that a lot of times we think we know the law and we understand the law. And I think when it comes to immigration fraud, we don't understand the law. And it's like, we swear to God that we know what something is, and we don't. And I still, to this day, I still feel like I was right, but the law disagreed with me. You know, like it is what it is. And I still feel like, well, you shouldn't be able to leave your car parked in the middle of the street, not in a park, and expect nothing to happen to it. But my insurance company was 100% like, you're wrong, you hit it. So you're wrong. And I was like, well, I disagree. And I think that's where a lot of times people get confused with the immigration fraud. So like, well, no, he said he loved me, but he didn't. That is not the, when you're talking about a law doesn't give you room for feelings or emotions. A law is a very cold, cut and dry understanding of what happened. And you nailed it. They don't care that he emotionally abused you, or they don't care that he lied to you or he played with your emotions. That doesn't have anything to do with the law. The law doesn't care about any of that stuff. And I think that's why a lot of times this never falls under immigration fraud, because the law doesn't cover any of that. The law is just simply about what laws did they violate in that process. That's all they care about. They don't care about emotions.
But, yeah, because anybody can change their mind about how they feel about you. Just because
think about
happy with you last year don't mean they're going to be happy with you this year.
Think about let's throw the immigration part out of it. Say that two Americans get married. They're in love. 3 months later, they get divorced. The man says the woman defrauded him. Is it a fraud that she was in love with him for 3 months and then wasn't in love with him 3 months later? No, if that was the case, every divorce would end in a fraud case, right? Like, because you're right. You have every opportunity and option to fall out of love with someone, and it's not fraud. You really might have actually really loved them at first, and then you moved in with them and you realize that you can't stand this human being. That is not fraud. You know, and I think a lot of times we really want to think we know what it is. And it's like, without that law degree, you know, we don't really know what we're talking about. We don't really understand the law. Nobody does. To this day, some of the laws, I still don't understand them to this day. I just don't get it. And without a law degree, I don't think I ever will.
Nope.
All right. So we're going to wrap up. So hopefully, fingers crossed, Kara will be back with us tomorrow. We've missed her for like almost 2 whole weeks. We can't have that. So we really want to get Kara back. Hopefully she'll be all caught up on the shows, because I want to talk about tomorrow, MILF Manor and Love in Paradise. Kyle was back. He was wearing long pants on this episode. So we're going to talk about that. And then on MILF Manor, there was a woman there who had a man already. So yeah, there's a lot of drama going on with that. So we're going to come back and talk about those tomorrow. We've been on a long time tonight. So we're going to come back and do that tomorrow. Hopefully, fingers crossed, Kara will be back with us so we can do that tomorrow. Thanks for everybody joining us. Follow my co-host Didi. I'm gonna tag her in this video. Last week we trended in a whole bunch of different countries. I can't remember which ones now, but thank you guys.
Yes.
Okay.
Thank you
guys. It was very, very nice to see that email that different countries, and America wasn't even one of them. So I feel really important, right? Like, wow. All these places. Thank you so much. You love reality TV as much as we do. And I'm so glad that there's somebody who wants to listen to me. Not a lot of people do. So thank you. Thank you so much. Make sure you're following me on all social media platforms at George Masi, georgemasi.com. Anywhere you get your podcast, type in the George Masi Show on any streaming platform. Thank you guys for joining us. Make sure you're back here tomorrow night. I'll tell y'all a specific time soon on my story. So we can talk about MILF Manor and Love in Paradise, because there's more Kyle drama, right? There's more Kyle drama, and we gotta get into that. All right, guys. Everybody have a wonderful night, and we'll talk to y'all tomorrow.
Bye.
Bye.